Yes, indeed. It is time for a thrilling Thursday edition of Let's Talk. It is the final show of the week. Are you kidding me?
Yay.
Feels like a Friday.
Yes, it does.
Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. If there's something you just got to get off of your chest, something you'd like to share, we're all ears. Well, and one big nose in my case. But, you know, we'll use our ears.
I didn't want to say anything.
If you so choose to give us a ring this morning. I had lots to get into. We will get into the sports scene in the second segment of today's show. But a little preview, I'm still happy with my baseball team. And we'll have details coming up.
Okay. You haven't been happy with your team all year, so.
No.
So this is perfect timing.
This was quite the homestand, I will say that.
All right, we got a busy show. Second hour, we're going to talk education. Interesting stories and such from the world of schools with Jill Barshay from the Hechinger Report. We've had Jill on the show before, although it's been a while. And I figure summertime, she's wide open. I've been chasing Jill for 2 months to get her on the show. She's like, I'm too busy, I'm too busy. I'm like, okay, finally. I guess maybe it's got something to do with the 4th of July. She's got some free time today. So we're going to talk with her in the 9 o'clock hour. Education in this case, pretty much K to 12 stuff. Not higher ed, K to 12 stuff. She's had some, I would say, interesting stories recently, so we're going to talk about that and just about education and some other stuff. Yes, I feel a little messed up. It's Thursday. Folks, remind yourself, it's Thursday. It doesn't feel like Thursday. It feels like, I guess, Friday. Like, no, Friday, that's tomorrow. Okay, whoops. We will not be here tomorrow. Terribly sorry. Now, Mr. Ironhead, you're doing the firecracker, right?
That's right.
All right.
I will be slowly trying to jog the 4K.
Well, the little guy's going to be with you, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. He'll be with me at the start. I have a feeling the little one is going to leave Dad in the dust at some point.
Oh, boy.
Probably pretty early on in tomorrow's festivities.
Well, if you were listening yesterday, we had a couple of interesting stories about sleep. You know, conspiracy theories, people don't get enough sleep and they into that stuff. And a power nap, that 20-minute power nap really does help you.
I did not get the 20-minute power nap. Let the record clearly show.
Well, tomorrow morning while you're firecrackering, I'm going to try that sleep thing just to see if that works out pretty
well. Yeah, worth a shot.
We're going to try the sleep thing.
Worth a shot.
There we go. All right, busy day. First off, yesterday, what the heck was going on yesterday with trucks? There was some either nasty or weird accidents involving trucks. Now, there was a really bad accident on 322 west of Phillipsburg. Apparently, two tractor trailers yesterday head on, and that just I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, really? I don't know. I didn't get any extra details. Maybe one guy drifted into the wrong lane or something, because, of course, that's just a two-lane road over there. And some serious injuries. Hopefully, you know, everything is going to be okay and so on. So, oof, that was nasty. But then early yesterday morning, there was another accident, if you missed this, up on I-80 near Snowshoe.
Yeah.
Apparently three trucks involved with that one. The good news, from what I understand, everybody's okay. The one truck kind of got shredded. And I suppose that's the key word, shredded, because it left shredded mozzarella cheese all over Interstate 80. Now, we could come up with some cheesy puns and jokes there. I saw a couple of pictures. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, we're talking cheese all over the roadway. And so they had to either, I guess this was eastbound, I believe, they either had to close the road or limit it to one lane. So, in other words, traffic got backed up. As, I don't know, people with brooms came out and cleaned up the cheese all over the road. Every now and then you see one of these stories. It's a truck hauling some kind of food or, I mean, I'm trying to think, some of these maple syrup. Can you imagine maple syrup all over a roadway? Ugh. Well, yesterday it was cheese. So I don't know if anybody encountered that. You want to call in and let us know what you saw. I mean, it's not funny, but it is. I mean, there's cheese all over the road.
Well, it's just Gouda news that nobody was injured.
Here we go.
Line.
Okay. See, folks, I set the table, and I wait for him to catch up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, yeah, of course you don't, so there we go. Anyway, all right, now, we all know what tomorrow is, right? 4th of July, Independence Day.
Monster trucks, or do we know?
Monster trucks.
Just tractor trucks.
Okay, now he's going to keep going. Oh, this is going to be bad. All right, tomorrow, 249 years ago, of course, it was the signing of the Declaration of Independence. See, we got this all wrong.
Yeah.
We've had this all wrong for all these years.
Huh.
The big day is July 2nd. The big day was yesterday.
Oh, man.
Yesterday was the day in 1776 when the delegates to the, Continental Congress approved the Declaration of Independence.
You would have thought that truck accident yesterday would have happened at the Breezewood exit.
Okay.
I'm sorry, continue.
I've created a monster. Oh, no. July 2nd is supposed to be the big day.
Uh-huh.
Because that was the day the Declaration was approved. They voted, said, yep, we're doing this. We've had it with Great Britain. We're going to make the break. All right. July 4th was just the day the guys signed up to sign it. That's it. You know, all their names down there at the bottom. John Adams thought back then that July 2nd is going to be a great day in history. Well, sorry, John. You got left in the dust. Nobody cares about July 2nd. We only care about July 4th. All right? So there's your history lesson for today.
We're trying to get to
what?
To see Velveeta tonight playing down at the Wing Fest was happening there.
I have created a monster. All right, this is really bad. Folks, our apologies, okay? I should have known the puns were coming.
I don't know what you're talking
about. He's trying to find every cheese word he can find right now on his computer. It's amazing.
No, I'm reading about T.J. Watt on my computer, but that's another story.
Well,
altogether.
We'll save that for the sports segment,
we will.
All right? That could be a little cheesy. Mm. We'll see. So yesterday was supposed to be the big day, not tomorrow.
But it turned out not to be the case.
Yes, that's right. So tomorrow's the big day, 249. And then allegedly, I guess starting tomorrow, of course, 250, big number. Do you remember what 250? Remember the name for 250?
Semi-centennial.
No.
Something.
Well, you got centennial part.
Yeah.
Semi-quincentennial. There we go. Yeah, Semi-quincentennial.
Just 250.
So the big shindig essentially starts tomorrow and then goes for a year. Folks, I'll tell you what, we mentioned 250. There's going to be a whole bunch of 250s over the next year. 250 of this, 250 of this, a celebration of that, blah, blah, blah. Get ready. There's going to be a ton. All right? It's going to be quite the party for the next year or so. So prepare yourself, all right? I tell you, you and I, we're in the wrong line of work. Okay.
Oh, tell me about it.
Don't need a cheesy pun there, all right?
Folks have been saying that for years.
We're in the wrong line of work.
Yeah.
Now, I find myself increasingly using one of these AI apps primarily for research. Like if I want to find out something about, I don't know, some topic or something like that. Increasingly, I'm using an AI app. Instead of doing a standard web search, which we've been doing for years, I just say or I type to the AI app, this is what I'm looking for, blah, 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 go find it. And again, if you've never used one of these, they're amazing. Within seconds, here's all this stuff. And it's written in a nice, intelligible writing. It's not like blah, 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 you know, like a traditional web search. AI is really good. AI apparently really pays. Now, this is interesting, all right? OpenAI is probably the most well-known AI company, all right? ChatGPT is their big deal. They have some other stuff. There's a lot of craziness going on here. OpenAI just announced they are giving all of their staffers a mandatory week-long vacation. How would you like that? You must take a vacation for a week. Right now, go. What? It's like, wait, what? Why are they doing this? Well, the reason they're doing this is they're trying to hold on to their own employees. I mean, this is getting like cutthroat. This is getting crazy. Meta, which is Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, all that stuff. Meta is trying to make some noise in the AI space. And what they've been doing recently, apparently, is they've been poaching. They've been going over to the OpenAI people and saying, hey, why don't you come over to us? We'll give you all this stuff.
Mm.
And apparently, just in the past week, I guess, they've poached eight, I don't know, really smart people from OpenAI to switch over to Meta. Because Meta is trying to, you know, kind of muscle their way into this space. All right. And so eight people have now switched from the one company to the other company. All right. Now, I've got one story here that says, now, granted, again, I don't understand. Some of these employees that do this stuff work up to 80 hours a week. So, in other words, these folks are not just sitting in a chair at a desk, you know, screwing around. They're working for up to 80 hours a week. I don't know, how many hours do you work? I'll be honest, I work a lot, but I don't work 80. That's a lot.
Work right. 81.
81.
I'm not going to be outdone by
some. Is that right? Now, here's the thing, all right?
Yeah, what's the thing?
Meta, what is Meta giving these people to lure them away from OpenAI? According to one story, they're offering some of these people signing bonuses. Now, that's a sports thing.
Yeah.
All right, signing bonus.
I figured milkshakes.
You ever heard of a $100 million signing bonus?
I have not.
Well, apparently,
no, nobody has presented such.
That's what some of these people are getting. $100 million signing bonuses just to switch sides. Holy, I could retire right there. Holy mackerel, $100 million. Now, that'll tell you something, that this world of AI is super serious. I mean, these folks are really working on this stuff. Yeah, come over and work for us. Here's a check for $100 million. Not $1 million, $100 million. Here it is. Whew. We're talking big money. We're talking big. Talking everything big. Oh,
that seems substantial.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
That's not cheesy right there, all right?
No.
$100 million. Yikes. Okay. All right. I don't understand. All right. Well, I do understand. I just don't care. I guess that's what it is. You could probably go to any media outlet, TV, newspaper, you know, whatever, over the past, I don't know what, couple of weeks. And you see information about the Sean Diddy Combs trial. All right? And I have notes that I do for every show. I've got Sean Diddy Combs trial. Who cares? Have you been following this? Who cares?
I haven't been following it. It's hard to not consume some of the information that's been out there on it. But, yeah, I would not say I've been...
I just, who
following her?
Okay, he's a rapper and he's got some money.
Well, he's very famous. A lot of people
and he's famous.
Like his music.
If this guy, I mean, for the things he alleged to have done, and I guess yesterday he was found guilty of some stuff and not guilty of other stuff.
Not guilty of the more serious.
The more serious stuff, he got away, all right?
Yeah.
But apparently he's still going to go to jail. Question is, how long will he go to jail?
Yeah, that actually seems, I don't know, depending on which court experts you're listening to, that does not seem as definitive. It seems likely, but it's like, yeah, I could see at least a couple of the ones that, as I was flipping around last night, they're like, I could see them ended up saying, no, time served and home detainment for a certain period of time. Most seem to think the most likely scenario is he gets 2 to 3 years is what.
So all
most of the people that I was watching, I mean, he can get up to 20, but you never get the high end of that on first time.
I guess if you have high-priced lawyers, you get out of that stuff.
Well, it helps.
I mean, if this guy was a nobody, we wouldn't even know what this case is. We wouldn't have a clue. I mean, he's now known as Diddy. He was P. Diddy. Back in the day, he was Puff Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had some other name. I'm like, okay, whatever, pal. All
yeah.
right? And I'm sorry, rap music is not my gig. It's like, this is a lead story. I'm like, who cares? All right, now the big, beautiful Bill. Okay, that's a lead story. Because in some respect, that affects all of us, all right? The House is tackling this probably as we speak.
Yeah.
Again, this deadline is supposed to be tomorrow. Now, it's not a real deadline. It's more of a symbolic deadline. Oh, we want to get it to the president's desk before the 4th of July. Okay, whatever. All right? It could happen next week. It could happen 2 weeks from now. All right? We'll see what occurs. But follow your news about the big, beautiful bill today to see where that goes. And then we have this. Now, this is from Gallup. Now, Gallup, very well-known surveying company, surveying organization. Do you have pride in America right now? Do you have pride in America right now? And so Gallup periodically does a survey, random survey of people. And yes, one of the things they do is they kind of break it up. You got Republicans, you got Democrats, you got independents. And they ask the questions. So it's not just a sort of a mass number. It's also by certain groupings of people. Well, this just came out the other day. I'm reading here. A record low, 58% of adults say they are extremely or very proud to be an American. That is down 9 points from last year. The prior low was in 2020. This 58% is below that. Okay. So I guess the question here is, why is there a new low number of people with pride in America? Okay. And so, yes, this kind of breaks it down. Where is it here? Breaks it down into parties. Apparently, if you're a Democrat, you're not proud of America.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers. Let's see. Okay, I'm reading here again. Democrats are mostly responsible for the drop in pride this year. Only 36% say they are extremely or very proud. Now, a year ago, when there was a different president, the number was 62%. So in 1 year, for registered Democrats, according to this poll, pride in America went down from 62% to 36%. Political independence, only 53%, have a great deal of pride. That is down 7% from last year. What about Republicans? See, this is nuts, okay? 92% of Republicans have pride in America this year. Now, that is up. Now, last year's number for Republicans was 85%. That's still pretty high, right? All right, this year it's 92%. So I've got a graphic here. Republicans, again, this goes back to, what, 2001, Republicans' pride in America has hovered in the low 90% range that entire stretch. So, in other words, that would be George W. Bush, that would be Barack Obama, Trump 1, Biden, now we got Trump 2. Republicans' pride in America in the low 90s. Democrats, for whatever reason, all right, it used to be in the 90s, back around 2004 or so. It is now down to 36%. Why the change? And then independents are roughly sort of in between the Republican number and the Democrat number, although they've been kind of sloping down. Folks, can't we have pride in America without, it doesn't matter who's in the White House right now? Why? Can you answer this for me? I genuinely do not understand. Are so many people so consumed by politics that it does, you know, whoever's in the White House right now, if it's your guy, yay! If it's not your guy, I feel like dirt. Can you explain? I don't understand.
No, that is largely it.
I don't get it.
I do think another contributing factor here, if you look at it by generations, and it breaks down age groups as well, and younger people have substantially less pride in being an American than older people. And some of us would see some correlation there with the decline in teaching about the good that has come from America in our schools and in public spaces. When we talk about indoctrination, it's, you know, you Republicans, you're out of your mind. Schools are just there to teach the kids. It's like, well, no. Like, what are they teaching the kids? I do think there's a reason. If you are being told, and I am not suggesting that we not teach. I teach the entire history. All of the good, all of the bad, and there's certainly plenty of bad that has come along with the United States. But the good, I would argue, far outweighs the bad. And there is nowhere in the history of the planet where you have a chance to succeed, no matter what your background, what your race, what your gender, what your religion, what your economic status is going in. Nowhere in the history of the planet do you have the opportunity to succeed the way you do here. No other place at no other time than right now in the United States of America. And that has been the case for at least my lifetime. And going back a good bit before that, we have never seen a country that provides opportunity for individuals. There is a reason folks are clamoring to get here, in some cases literally dying to get to the United States. And for all of the people that complain and, oh, we're awful, we're not treating women right, we're not treating blacks right, we're not doing this, we're not doing that, very rarely do you see anybody saying, therefore, I'm going to go to country X where I know my opportunities will be greater? Well, why doesn't that happen? Because there isn't another place where you have better opportunity for individual success. And by the way, one of the advantages of being an American is you get to decide for yourself what success is. For some, it is financial success. That's what drives you, and you have opportunities here, unlike, again, anywhere else in the world, to go pursue your economic visions, your ideals. For others, again, if you feel a calling, I have a couple of very close friends that just felt a calling to the military, to go serve their country. Well, you certainly have that opportunity here. And you can go pursue that, and we thank those of you that do that from the bottom of our hearts. You have people that just feel a calling, man, I want to serve my community. I want to be part of the police department. I want to be part of the fire department. You have, and you know with your family, you have people that are, man, I feel like I want to help young people get educated. I want to help them, and they feel a calling to teach. Some people feel, again, whatever it is that you are pursuing, whether you want to pursue a family, your ideal family, whether you want to pursue, again, a particular calling, whether you want to pursue economic prosperity, whether you want to pursue whatever it is, you can do it here in ways that no other country has ever provided. So again, do we have flaws? Are there certainly politicians who, as in all walks of life, again, I talk about the call to teachers. Well, yeah, Ironhead, what about the teachers who prey on those young people? And yeah, again, we have awful human beings out there who make horrible decisions and are driven by horrible impulses. And that's across the board. I mean, there are bad bankers. There are bad... Name the walk of life. There are bad people doing bad things there. And we need to have oversight over that. We need to continue to try to improve, to create quote-unquote safe environments. And I don't mean safe from having somebody say something that you disagree with. I mean actually protect you from being physically or emotionally harmed. But we don't – I don't think we do enough to really promote the ideals that America has always stood for. And again, we can agree and disagree – on different policies, and I don't think this policy meets the standard of American greatness. Well, I think this does, and you argue back and forth. Again, another great advantage of being in the United States. We can have those debates. You can openly have those dialogues and not fear governmental retribution for the discussion on a particular policy. We've just never seen anything like this in the history of the world, and I wish more people, again, it's certainly okay to criticize, but to not have pride in this country and what it does. I mean, one of the things Donald Trump is trying to do is, hey, do you understand how much we are carrying the burden for the entire planet? Here in the United States, how about we share some of this responsibility with countries in at least a slightly more equitable way? And I think we are slowly seeing, other countries say, you know what, you may have a point here. We have relied on you pretty much solely for decades here, and maybe we ought to contribute a little more to our own defense and to our own ideal well-being for the planet. So I'm not surprised by this, and I do think Democrats are largely driven much more so than Republicans by the moment. I mean, Republicans, and more accurately, conservatives, we are disappointed with election results and with general directions and trends sometimes with the country and individual candidates. But we are able to step back, even in those times, and recognize the overall general greatness and opportunity that this country has and continues and will continue, boys and girls, to provide for its citizens.
That's a long answer.
Yep.
We got to take a break. We're way off schedule.
Yep.
We'll save this maybe for later because you hit the age group. I've got age group numbers here, and you nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much nailed it. Younger, negative, older, positive. Why? Why is this? Hold that thought. All right, you're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Already a busy Thursday. We'll come back with more after this.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 98.7thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 98.7 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 98.7 The Fox.
You've got to feed the beast.
Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you
feed the beast.
And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you
feed the beast.
Lezer Lumber Great Outdoor Sale, now through July 5th. Special pricing on TimberTech and Trex decking. See all our railing options, plus solar and LED lighting by RDI. The best in siding and roofing materials, as well as your summer fix-up. Fixing storm damage and new build projects. Ask about our new Best Plus plastic lumber. It's a long-lasting, affordable solution. Financing available. See all the outdoor living options at LezerLumber.com. Lezer Lumber, decks built to be legendary.
Hey, you! Why aren't you helping hang this drywall?
Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized T-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday. It is the 3rd of July. And on my calendar, it looks like that would make tomorrow the 4th of July.
Oh, you're sharp.
It's America's birthday. And, folks, we are going to take the day off. Well, from the radio program.
That's right.
I will be out there sweating profusely, struggling through what is known as a marathon. They call it a Firecracker 4K. It's a marathon that I'll be participating in.
It's 2.5 miles
tomorrow.
Come on.
No, I think 4K is like 26. I did it last year. It's like 26.2 miles.
Really?
It's a marathon. Little known fact. People often, we're just not as familiar with the kilometers. But, okay. Yeah, a kilometer equals roughly 13 miles. it's actually two marathons,
okay,
basically, that I'll be running tomorrow. According to FanDuel Sportsbook, Penn State football has the fourth best odds
of winning the national championship this coming season.
Fourth?
Yes.
Okay.
The Nittany Lions are behind only Ohio State and Georgia, which come in as the co-favorites, according to FanDuel, and Texas, which sits with the third best odds. FanDuel also gives Penn State quarterback Drew Aller the fifth best odds of winning the Heisman Trophy in the upcoming season. Fellow quarterbacks Arch Manning of Texas, he's the favorite.
He's barely played.
True. Garrett Nussmeier of LSU, he has the second best odds. And Cade Klubnik of Clemson, he is third in the odds. And then it is Ohio State wide receiver Jeremiah Smith, who is just a freak of nature. He has the fourth best odds, according to FanDuel. And then it's Drew Aller sitting there with the fifth best odds of winning the Heisman Trophy in the upcoming season. The USA Under-23 men's freestyle wrestling team is now officially set. And seven of the 10 members, so that's like over 65% of the team, hails from Penn State.
How about
wrestlers
that
will be on the roster next
what a
year?
Surprise.
Luke Lilidahl at 57 kilos, Marcus Blaze at 65 kilos, PJ Duke at 70 kilos, Mitchell Messenbrink at 74 kilos, Levi Haynes at 79 kilos, and Rocco Welsh at 86 kilos will be competing at the World Championships that will run October 24th through the 26th in Serbia. Let's go have some fun, kids.
All right, there we go.
Penn State wrestling alum Bo Nickel has announced that he is joining Real American Freestyle, which is the newly created pro wrestling league. Nickel says he plans to also continue his UFC career as well. Nickel is expected to compete in the first RAF event, that should read, on August 30th in Cleveland, Ohio. Former Penn State guard Andrew Funk will play for the Philadelphia 76ers Summer League team. That'll be this summer. They do the summer league in the summer with the NBA.
Like right now. Yeah.
He will be, again, playing for the 76ers squad. He played in the G League last season and averaged 9.7 points, 4.1 rebounds, and 3.2 assists per game for the Grand Rapid Gold, which is the Denver Nuggets affiliate squad. Penn State women's volleyball alum Angelina Stark has joined the Spanish volleyball club Arsenal Emevie.
I have no idea.
It's E-M-E-V-E with the
little umlaut
over
there.
What is the slash thing?
Whatever it is,
Emevie or something like
Sounds
that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But she's going to be playing over in the Spanish volleyball league next season. Penn State women's lacrosse has added a couple of players from the transfer portal. Julia Bascano is transferring from Syracuse to rejoin her head coach there. Here, Kayla Traynor, for her final season of college eligibility. Bascano is a midfielder and recorded 10 ground balls and 7 caused turnovers in 44 games with the Orange. Penn State also picking up midfielder Anna Salerno. Salerno transfers in from Mount St. Mary, where she was a 2-time All-MAAC honoree. She scored 52 goals and 4 assists last season. The State College Spikes are on a roll. Brett Dunham, Carter Hollies, and Brennan Cutts combined to strike out 10 over the last 5 innings, and they retired the final 13 batters in order as the Spikes completed a 2-game sweep of Mahoning Valley with the 6-3 win at Medler Field at Lebrano Park last night. The Spikes have now won 4 of their last 5 games, and State College is just a game and a half behind Oh, those cross cutters from Williamsport in the MLB Draft League standings with 9 games before we hit the halfway point of the season. The Spikes welcome the cross cutters to Medler Field at Lebrano Park for a 6:35 contest tonight. That'll be the first of a home-and-home series, so they'll make the trip to Williamsport for the next game. State College slated to send new addition Jacob Mayers from LSU to the mound as he will make his first official appearance with the club. Mayers is a right-hander who won the Tigers bracket clincher against Arkansas that got them to the finals in Omaha and earned the win for the MLB Draft League side in the 10-6 exhibition victory over a squad from the Cape Cod League on Monday at Citi Field in New York. Williamsport will go with Connor Knox tonight. He makes his second appearance after starting and pitching 5 scoreless innings in his debut against West Virginia on June 21st. So it should be a good pitching matchup. It is, of course, Independence Eve at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. They will have a military salute hat giveaway for those that have American pride. You can take one of those and, you know, wear it proudly. They'll be given to the first 500 fans at the gates tonight. Gates will open at 5:30. Again, Tyler's amazing balancing act will be performing throughout the night. And one of the neat things, they will have the Great American Baby Races at Medler Field at Lebrano Park.
Okay.
During both the game at State College tonight and then at Williamsport tomorrow, babies and toddlers from across the area will be revving up to crawl on the field. You can register ahead of time. Go to the Spikes website. The champion of the race, and there will be an opportunity tomorrow at Fourth Fest as well. The champion of the race will receive ultimate Great American Baby Races prize packs with a greatest of the grand of the Great American Baby Races prize pack available for the grand champion, which you can enter into if you win the big race tonight.
Wow.
So you got that. And of course it's fireworks. I mean, it's the eve.
The holiday,
of the 4th, so you gotta have fireworks. Speaking of fireworks, the Pittsburgh Pirates remain red hot. The Bucks won their 6th straight and picked up their 3rd shutout in as many games against the Cardinals in a 5-0 victory yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to feed the beast. And the Pirates are indeed beastly these days. How about the 6-game homestand? The Buccos go 6-0. They outscore the Mets and Cardinals by a cumulative total of 42-4.
That's amazing.
It is unbelievable. Pirates pitchers have now gone 31 consecutive innings without giving up a run.
Incredible.
That is
incredible.
Crazy. And a lot of fun if you're a Pirates fan. Unexpected fun. Yesterday's game was a pitching duel between Mitch Keller and Sonny Gray. Keller threw 7 scoreless innings to pick up the victory, his 2nd straight. Gray gave up just 1 run when Tommy Pham knocked a run in with a single. In the 2nd inning, O'Neill Cruz scored the run. Gray left with 1 out in the 8th, and that's when the Pirates took advantage. They put up 4 runs, including 2 on an Isaiah Kiner-Falefa single. The Pirates got a scoreless inning from Dennis Santana, who returned to the lineup after serving his suspension. And then it was Isaac Mattson closing things out in the 9th. It was a day of glory, a weekend of glory in Pittsburgh. They put up all kinds of historic numbers. Just the 3rd time in Pirates history that they completed a three-game series without allowing a single run in any of the games to their opponents. The Bucks undoubtedly are enjoying today's off day before they will open a weekend series tomorrow afternoon against the Mariners in Seattle. That game will get underway at 4:10 with airtime at 3:45 tomorrow afternoon right here on your proud presenter of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay.
We have Pirates pride. Yes, we do. We have Pirates pride. How about you?
Yeah, now he's got pride.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, I knew it was just a matter of time. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is where you will find the Buccos and their weekend series with the Mariners. Go get them, Pittsburgh, tomorrow. Philadelphia Phillies split a doubleheader with the Padres yesterday. San Diego took the first game 6-4 before the Phillies bounced back to take the nightcap 5-1. In the first game, Phillies rookie Mick Abel struggled after striking out the first two batters. Good start. He allowed 5 runs on 2 hits and 5 walks in 1 2/3 innings. Christopher Sanchez, however, impressive in game 2 as he held the Padres to a single run over 7 innings of work and got the victory. Max Kepler led the offense going 2 for 4 with a home run and a couple of RBI. Alec Bohm also 2 for 4 with a triple and an RBI. The Phillies are 2 games up on the New York Mets atop the National League East standings. Philadelphia also has today off and then will open a home series against the Reds tomorrow at Citizens Bank Park. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a little something we like to call sports.
For those of us old enough to remember when Major League Baseball actually had scheduled doubleheaders.
What?
And you bought 1 ticket and saw 2 games.
What?
Remember those days?
I do.
Yeah, they scheduled doubleheaders. And then you hope the weather cooperates.
Well, first. Yeah.
I mean, gosh, those days are long gone.
Oh,
I,
yeah.
I just, I haven't tried it in any time recently. You go to 1 game and then they force you, I guess, to get up and get out and then find a way to turn around and come back in for the 2nd game. I'm just wondering, isn't there some way you can kind of hide out in the men's room or something? Hide out in the men's room or ladies' room, like, okay, now I'm going to pop back out again. I miss those days. 1 ticket, 2 games. I mean, that was cool. Now it's whatever. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a little open line time. Again, we're going to talk just education-type stuff with a guest from the Hechinger Report in our 2nd hour. Interesting times in that world. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
You've got to feed the beast.
Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you
feed the beast.
And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you
feed the beast.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
98.7
The Fox.
Well, yeah, you gotta turn it up. Let's talk here on a Thursday morning. I mean, think about it, folks. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. A short open line segment here, and then we talk education.
Education with our guest Joe Barshay from the Hechinger Report, who will be calling in. So we only have a few minutes here if you'd like to chime in. All right, let's see. Let me throw this one out. All right, again, it's interesting what gets news coverage. All right, and New York dominates because it's New York. It's big, it's huge, it's got, 8 million people, 10 million people, whatever it is. All right, the Sean Diddy Combs trial, I'm like, who cares? Well, it was in New York, so people care. Okay. Last week they had their primary mayoral election.
I came up with a nickname for it. I call it the Big Apple. What do you think?
What does that mean, Big Apple?
It's just a big apple.
It's big.
It's a New York City for
you. Okay, all right.
In a nutshell.
Well, we'll try to remember that.
Why is an apple in a nutshell?
Yeah, that makes no sense. You're not going to work cheese into this pun?
You never know. It could be coming.
Get some cheese.
Get a little topping on there.
Well, of course, the mayoral primary in New York got big coverage, and it's still getting big coverage, all right? And on the Democrat side, now keep in mind, this is New York City, so it's like it's written in stone somewhere that the mayor has to be a Democrat.
Mm.
Okay, whatever. All right, that's fine. And of course, if you somehow didn't follow this, a young guy, he's only 33 years old, named Zohran Mamdani, who is a naturalized U.S. citizen, was the Democrat winner yesterday or last week in this primary.
Yep.
Now, and of course, this has gotten big news because Mr. Mamdani is openly socialist. I mean, he is. He makes no pretensions about it. He is. I saw one blurb, and I had to look this up, like, really? If Mr. Mamdani has his way, he would like government grocery stores. grocery stores run by the government. I'm thinking, at first I heard that, I thought, okay, this is a gag, right? But I had to look it up, and sure enough, I mean, there, go online, there's multiple outlets there. Yep, he has mentioned having government grocery stores. Okay, yeah, I'm sure that would make things a lot better, all right? I'm sorry, as you can tell by my tone of voice, it's like, are you kidding? All right, New York City's got plenty of grocery stores. Could they use more? Yeah, they probably could. Government grocery stores? Okay. Now, in all the different stories, though, I mean, this has gotten people all wound up. Oh, my gosh. You know, if it wasn't New York, if it was some smaller city, people would probably, oh, that's interesting, and move on. But it's New York, so it's like, oh, my gosh. Couple things to remember. Number one, this was a primary election. The real election, if you will, isn't until November to see who the next mayor of New York's going to be. The current mayor is running as an independent. He was a Democrat, Eric Adams, but he's had his own controversy, if you will, and so he's still running for re-election, but he will do it as an independent. Andrew Cuomo, the former governor of New York, I think he thought this was a shoe-in for him. Oh, because of my name, Cuomo, that'll be enough. Yeah, all the controversy he had when he was governor, nobody cares about that.
Uh-huh.
Well, he lost. Okay, now he's going to continue to run as, you guessed it, an independent. All right. Curtis Sliwa is a Republican. What's the name of his group? Angels. I'm blanking. They've been around for decades in New York. They kind of patrol around to make sure everything's safe.
The Guardian
and so on.
Angels?
The Guardian Angels. That's right. Guardian Angels. Sliwa was, I think, a founder of that group.
Yes.
Well, he's politically active, and he's Republican. He has run for mayor before, so he is running. All right. The one thing I didn't notice, there's a mountain of stories about this election from last week. The one thing I did not notice was how many people turned out for this election. All right, this is a primary, and we've complained about it here. Primary elections, the voter turnout is usually abysmal. All right, by the numbers I've seen, maybe last week the voter turnout was 20%. So 20%, not all of them, voted for the young socialist guy. Now, folks, you've got what? What?
Not socialist. He is communist. Like that, there's no
communist guy.
Yes.
Okay.
This is a communist.
Okay. Young. That's not how he identifies himself. But okay, young communist guy as the next mayor of New York. But only 20% of people voted registered voters. 20% of people voted last week. Trust me. Come November, it's going to be higher than 20%. And so, can this young guy, whatever you want to label him, can he continue, you know, to, I don't know, thrill certain people so that he actually becomes the next mayor of New York City? We will see. All right. So, before you get all wound up over some of this stuff, keep in mind, not that many people voted last week. 20%. That's one out of five. That's not good enough. All right. So it'll be an interesting story to follow this from now to November. But, New York's going to be a little bit. Hold on. Just slow down. All right. There's a lot to be done here in the next few months. I just got to point that out. I don't know why the stories that I've seen, none of them mention that. Voter turnout, which was abysmal. It was terrible. Won't be that bad in November. All right, let's take our break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk education with our guest. We will have some open line time later in the next hour if you'd like to chime in. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 98.7thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 98.7 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 98.7 The Fox.
Hey, Ian's doing. Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Panth.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotion and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
You've got to
feed the beast.
Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you
feed the beast.
And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you
feed the beast.
Your sports radio!
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Fox State Knowledge. It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday. Feels like a Friday morning. And, well, perhaps a little impromptu open phone time here, waiting for our guest to join us. So stand by.
Don't
call right now. We're trying to keep it open for her. Give it a few minutes.
Yeah.
Things do come up. We know how that goes very, very well. So, again, we'll wait to see.
We've sent her a note. We'll see if she, because she's not from around here, our guest Jill Barshay from the Hechinger Report, who we've had on before. She is one busy lady. Like I said, I've been trying to track her down for 2 months. Like, hey, let's talk about education. I'm busy. I'm doing stories. Scott, I'm doing. Okay, I get it. Maybe the day before the holiday. Maybe she started her holiday already. I don't know. We'll see. But hopefully, Jill will join us here shortly. Beautiful weather, by the way. Now, allegedly, maybe we'll get a thunder shower this afternoon or this evening. Maybe. I don't know. When I went out this morning, I mean, it was refreshingly cool. See if that's her right there, all right? 55 degrees at my house this morning. Oh, that is ring the bell. That is refreshingly cool. And though the weather for tomorrow, for the 4th of July, looks downright perfect. I mean, if you, depending on what weather source you check. Okay, all right. So, I mean, just, woo, it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. And then for the fireworks show tomorrow night, remember all the 4th Fest stuff going on tomorrow. It's just going to be gorgeous. It is going to be beautiful. So get out and enjoy it. All right. And if you're doing the Firecracker 4K, what did you say earlier? You're going to be sweating through the Firecracker 4K? It's going to be cool.
I'm going to be sweating profusely.
It's going to be cool tomorrow morning.
You try running 40 miles. each kilometer is 40. roughly 10 miles.
Okay,
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
This thing's getting bigger and bigger. All right, very nice. All right, let's talk about education. We're here in the midsummer. Now, for the kiddies who might be listening, all right, it's July already. Surprise! We're going to blink our eyes. It's going to be August, and you're going to be going back to school at some point. Boo! Okay, come on, don't do that.
Well, but football season. Yay!
Well, football season. There we go.
The good with the bad.
So we want to welcome back to our program Jill Barshe from the Hechinger Report that covers education topics across the country. First off, Jill, welcome back, and thanks for taking some time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
You're very welcome. For longtime regular listeners, we've had Jill on a couple of times before. I don't know, Jill, and I just called this midsummer. So obviously schools are closed, it's summer break, teachers are enjoying themselves and whatever. So I figure midsummer is like sleepy time for you. You're just not doing a whole lot.
Is that what you figure?
Would that be accurate, Joe, or not?
I think this timing of summer is a regional issue. Here in New York City, school just got out about a week ago. So we're early summer.
Okay, whoa. Is that a week ago? Okay, you exaggerating or is that true?
Well, I mean, I can look it up, but I think school just ended the third week of June. And so we just started July, about a week ago.
Oh, my gosh. Now, I've always believed this, or I've thought this, right? Is it a state law in New York that you cannot start the new school year until after Labor Day? Isn't that a state law up your way?
I would love to look that up. I have no idea, but it's a long tradition in the East Coast that we don't start school till after Labor Day. You get the whole summer. I don't understand the rest of the country that starts in August, which is very much summertime to me.
I am with you on that.
Well, I tell you what, I used to work with schools with my old job, and I've got friends all over the country. Down in Georgia, I think South Carolina, not sure about Florida, they actually start the new school year the first week of August. That's when they start.
Word. The first week of August?
The first week of August.
That's insane.
All right. And then they finish, I guess, like early to mid-May, and they're all done. So, yeah, I've always thought that's crazy, too. So I'm assuming all the schools have air conditioning down there because the first week of August down there is going to be really hot.
Oh, man.
Anyway. Okay, let's
go. It's interesting what the rest of the world does, right? They don't have these long summers. In Germany and UK and France and other places, I think they just have about a month off during the summertime. And then they spread the rest of the vacation around the year, so you have longer holiday periods. And the great part of that is you don't get as much learning loss during these extended vacations.
Yep. No, I think that makes a ton of sense. I really do. I don't know why.
Really?
What? Yeah.
You've got a little guy.
Yeah, I do think the summer jobs play into it here because we want the kiddos as lifeguards and working at the amusement parks and those sorts of things. But again, I adjust the schedules a little bit. I think that's a much better way to go because I do think that learning loss is fairly substantial here over the summer break.
Okay. You go home and talk to Reggie about that. See what he has
to say.
Well,
we keep a pretty regular schedule with our keeping him up to date on reading and working on different math problems for that very reason. You don't want to have to kind of start over, which it feels like we kind of do here every September. Or late August, isn't it?
Bravo. Good parent. Bravo.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Good parent. All right, Joe, for folks that have not heard you on our program before, let's briefly start. Tell us something about yourself. Obviously, we know you're from New York. What exactly do you cover? And tell us about the Hechinger Report exactly. What is all that?
I work for a nonprofit news organization called the Hechinger Report, and we cover one topic only, and you can probably guess what it is. It's education. We are funded through philanthropies and donations by readers, and we produce stories that are on our website, but we also have a model where we partner with mainstream media publications that you've heard of, regional papers all over the country, public radio stations. Our pieces are in the New York Times, on NBC News, PBS, The Atlantic Magazine, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of publications. And so it's wonderful. We have a very small newsroom of about 20 people, but our reach is extensive.
I've mentioned before when we've had you on, I love your stuff. I mean, very thorough reporting that I'm not getting anywhere else about education. And I happily am a small contributor because I think you folks do really, really good stuff.
Well, we appreciate that.
All right. Jill, let me just start with an open-ended, very general question, and you can be as factual or as opinionated as you want to be, okay? And that is, essentially, what is, and you cover primarily K to 12 school stuff, okay? What, I don't know, what is the state of K to 12 education today? Because seemingly chaos, I'm hearing that word thrown in, and this is happening over here, and this is happening over there, and oh my gosh, and you know, all this stuff. Your opinion, just sort of what is the general state of education in our country today? Go right ahead.
There's been a significant deterioration in student achievement. It started a bit before the pandemic hit, and it exacerbated. It deteriorated rapidly after the pandemic, and we're still not climbing out of this hole. And so we see deteriorations in reading achievement, particularly among middle schoolers. We're seeing problems with math achievement. That's particularly in a sorry state. And it's really hard to understand the causes of it. We've been back from pandemic. We've been in school full-time for quite a while now. And why is it that we're not reclaiming this lost ground? Some people blame instruction. Some people blame the quality of the teacher labor force, that teaching's become a less desired profession to go into. Other people blame technology and cell phones, and we have a society of mass distraction. I think a huge problem right now is students have disengaged with school. Chronic absenteeism went through the roof with the pandemic. After students were told to come back into the classroom, we've got, you know, more than a quarter of students, almost 30% of students, who are just not coming to school regularly. And you can't learn if you're not showing up. And it's sort of become culturally acceptable not to go to school, and we really need to tackle that.
Are we putting blame there on parents at all? Hearing a lot of different. Are parents not responsible for their kiddos anymore?
I think it's a mass cultural issue that people don't think it's necessary to go to school anymore. And, you know, we're seeing it in the workplace, too, right? People don't want to return to the workplace from remote work. They think it's okay to stay home. And I don't know if how much parental pressure there is on children to, you know, physically show up to school every day. That's a good question.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like sometimes we're putting an awful lot on the educators and maybe not enough on the parents. In my mind, it needs to be a joint venture. And I mean, we're very fortunate in the area we live in and in the area I was raised in. Like, we never. It really was never a thought that you can not go to school today if you don't want. And if not that we didn't have kids skip here or there, but the parents found out and there was immediate consequences to it. I don't know. I think, like a lot of these problems, I think they're multi-tiered, but I think a lot of it starts at home.
Well, and part of it is the public health messaging, right? If you don't feel well, if you have some sniffles, you should stay home, right? That you shouldn't spread your illness around and create some contagion. And then we also have the explosion of education technology that makes it easier, right, to skip school. So if you're just not feeling well or you're feeling like you need a mental health day, you know that you can still log into Google Classroom and see what your assignments were. There's this feeling like the ramifications, the consequences are not as serious.
Yeah, see, I wonder how much of this is somehow tied to technology. All right, now you just mentioned Google Classroom, which I've seen Google Classroom's great. All right, you can access things and so on, but maybe it's a fallback like, well, yeah, I don't need to go today. I'll just log on because, Jill, as I recall, when the pandemic started, God forbid, 5 years ago, schools were thrown into the situation of doing online learning, which was a disaster. I mean, it was, because those people that had to do it were forced into it, and they've never done it before. Like, poof, that you didn't have to turn your camera on. A school day you could complete in 2 hours. Well, why should I go to school for 7 hours if I can complete it all in 2 hours? So, Jill, I'm thinking technology has a lot to do with this situation. Does any of that sound right?
I think it's a big contributing factor for why students are not back in the classroom. And we're talking all kinds of students. It's not just low-achieving students who were disaffected and unmotivated in the past. We're talking even high-achieving, good students are just not in the classroom as regularly as they used to be. I would encourage you to look at the attendance figures in your own school district. I suspect you'll find they're much worse than they were, say, in 2019.
Now, I think earlier, Jill, you said 30%. What was that 30% figure?
So that's a rounded figure. I think we got it. I should look at the numbers, but my rough recollection is we got up to about, maybe 28% chronic absenteeism. And what that means is that 28% of K-12 students were absent for more than 10% of the school year. So we're talking about 18 days or more. And some are absent much more than that. Whereas before the pandemic, my recollection is the chronic absenteeism rate was more like 15%. So we're talking about half as many students were absent that much. Now we've come down a little bit from the peak. Maybe we're at 26, 27% now. I mean, it's inched down, but we're still so much higher than we traditionally have been.
Now, Jill, do you know that figure you just said, all right, that's a, like a national average figure. Is that
Yes. The
same for the whole country, or are certain areas of the country worse with this maybe than some other places?
Absolutely. There are some schools that are maybe have a 15% chronic absenteeism figure, meaning 15% of the students are absent from, 18 days or more a year. But if you look at their historical data, maybe it used to be 5 or 8% in the past. So, I mean, they've had a big jump. It's just a smaller number. And then if you look at some low-income schools, particularly schools now with large immigrant communities who are very fearful right now of ICE raids, the numbers can be much higher. I don't know the highest rates, but I wouldn't be surprised to see schools with 40, 50% chronic absenteeism.
Wow. All right, let me stick with technology-related questions because I was, by the way, the website, heckingerreport.org. All right. Heckinger is H-E-C-H-I-N-G-E-R. HeckingerReport.org. So, Joe, I had to refresh my memory last night, so I logged on and put your name in there and saw some of your recent stories. You've had some stories recently about technology, about AI, all right, artificial intelligence. There was one story you did, all right, the headline is University Students Offload Critical Thinking and Other Hard Work to AI. Do us a favor, talk about that story. What did you cover in that?
There is this idea that artificial intelligence could really help students, help them plan their work, become a sort of personal tutor, help them understand things that they didn't understand in school. But there were two really interesting studies that came out this year that throw cold water on that dream. One of them is by one of the companies that creates an AI chatbot. It's called Anthropic, and their chatbot is called Claude. It's a rival to ChatGPT, which most people have heard of. And what they did was they looked at all the university addresses that were logging into Claude, so all the addresses that end with EDU, like Harvard EDU and University of Texas .edu. And they were able to filter out professors through some interesting filters. And they felt at the end they really just had a thousands and thousands of university students around the country. And then they looked at the actual chat transcript of the students with the chat box. And they looked at how students were really using it. And what they noticed is they were asking the chatbot to do their work for them, to actually do the writing for them, to give them the answers to a computer science assignment and give them the step-by-step explanation so that they could just parrot it back. That they, what students are not doing is the hard work of, you know, struggling a little bit and making sure they understand something themselves. They're using it as a crutch. And then there was a second study that I found fascinating. It was conducted in China, and they did it in a sort of laboratory where they have college students come in, and they said, please do this English writing assignment. We're going to give you a few reading passages, and then we want you to write an essay about them. There was a control group that got no help at all. There was a group that got a human tutor to help them. There was a group that just had some sort of checklist and reference materials about how to write a good essay and how to check your essay afterwards. And the fourth group got ChatGPT. And the ChatGPT kids did the worst. You know, they submitted the best essays. When you just looked at the essay they did, because they kind of cheated. They had ChatGPT write the essay for them. But later, when they were tested on what they actually absorbed from the reading passages and what they understood, it was the ChatGPT students who did the worst. And so it really is a sign that, you know, in the same way that Google searches can sometimes make us stupider, like we just search and then we forget afterwards, ChatGPT might be making us stupider, too.
And that's been the fear about AI ever since this thing kind of hit the fan about 3 years ago, right, Joe? You work with teachers, talk to teachers, and so on. This is what they've been fearing, and you're saying pretty much this, according to these studies, this is what's happening. Would that be correct?
That's how we're seeing students use it in the wild. Now, defenders of AI will say, oh, but if you use it properly, then students can learn more. But if you actually prompt the chatbot to teach you and then ask it to sort of quiz you afterwards and then you do it yourself, but you're asking students to have a level of discipline and self-control that's very unusual, because the typical situation for a student is they're late on their assignments, the deadlines are, you know, at midnight that night. They need to just get it done quickly so they don't fail the course. And so asking students to have the wherewithal to use ChatGPT properly just feels unrealistic. The other thing that defenders of AI in education say is, well, maybe we need to change the assignments. Teachers just can't issue the same assignments that are too easy to cheat on using ChatGPT. We need to create new assignments. And that's asking professors to reinvent education, and I don't know that we know how to do that.
All right, we'll take a break in a moment. Now, Jill, you travel to schools and so on. Have you encountered schools, they have firm rules somehow about AI usage with students? In other words, you cannot use it, or you can only do this, or you can only do that. Are there schools out there with firm rules now about this, or is it pretty much laissez-faire, like, yeah, go ahead, do what you like? Which is more prevalent there?
We see a lot of firm rules. I think it's more unusual to have a teacher say, do what you want. I see rules out there, but they are impossible to enforce. We have schools with honor codes that say if you're caught using ChatGPT, you'll automatically fail or other kinds of consequences. But it's really hard to catch. Say you put the student's essay through a ChatGPT detector. Often the detectors don't detect it. In fact, you can run your ChatGPT written essay through ChatGPT again and tell it, please rewrite this in a way that no detector can detect that it was written by AI, and it will succeed.
Oh, the machines are going to get us, folks. Okay, holy mackerel. All right, let's take a quick break here. Again, our guest is Jill Barshay from the Hechinger Report, talking about education topics. Yeah, what a fun world those folks are having right now. Wow. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We've got more questions. Don't go anywhere. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now.
Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday, our last show of the week as we are off tomorrow to celebrate America's birthday, and we'll be back on Monday with a brand new Let's Talk.
Yeah, I'm training to challenge Joey Chestnut.
There you
go. Tomorrow's his day. Joey Chestnut. He's the guy that eats all the hot dogs.
Get her done.
I think I can get to two or three.
We're looking for you to get to 81.
Oh, my God.
In, what is it, 10 or 12 minutes?
I mean, it's ridiculous, but anyway.
With the bias.
All right, let's talk some more education with our guest, Jill Barshe from the Hechinger Report. Again, their website, folks, is HechingerReport.org, H-E-C-H-I-N-G-E-R. HechingerReport.org. If you're interested at all in education, you get kids in school or you don't have kids in school, really good stuff. Definitely check out their website.
Yep.
All right. Now, Jill, you've had a series of stories this year about the U.S. Department of Education and either the dismantling of that department or the changes in that department and so on. I don't know, just sort of, I guess, boil down, because you've had multiple stories about what's going on down there in D.C. What's your findings about what's been happening with that department? Maybe start with what's been happening with that department and then some of the, you know, the after effects and so on. What about those folks?
Well, thank you for asking about that. That's been a real priority in my coverage this year. I usually write about education research and data reports, and I have a weekly column called Proof Points where this is what I've been doing for a dozen years. And for any of your listeners out there, if you're interested in what education research and data show, you can sign up for my free newsletter. I hope it's okay that I plugged that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Of course.
Yeah. So you just go onto our website and you'll see a sign-up link, and it's just a once-a-week newsletter that you'll get on Monday morning. But suddenly, I believe it was the evening of February 10th, I start seeing all these messages on social media and in my inbox, and my world turns upside down. The area that I'm covering is being decimated. And the first step was when Elon Musk's Doge group just started willy-nilly canceling contracts for statistics. The Department of Education runs the third largest statistical agency in the federal government after the U.S. Census and the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And they do basic things like count the number of students, count the number of teachers, track how much students are learning. And they just killed all these contracts. Unlike other statistical agencies, the work is not done in-house at the Department of Education. They use private organizations. It's contracted out to vendors. And those were the contracts, 89 of them, they canceled. And except for a handful of data collections, they killed everything. And it was so shocking because people expected the Trump administration to kill maybe some woke studies on diversity, equity, and inclusion. We expected them to attack some things. But who suspected basic data collection and things that Congress mandates in statute? It was utterly shocking. So I started to cover that. A couple weeks later, they fired the commissioner for National Center of Education Statistics. That's the person who runs that division, who has a congressionally mandated six-year term that's supposed to straddle administrations and be nonpartisan, but they, just fired her and you know, made her leave the building. And then about a week and a half after that, they fired half the employees of the education department. So there were just no one, and not only throughout the department, they fired 90% of the employees in the research and statistics division. So there was just no one left to do this work, to research how we best learn math, how we best learn reading. It was just really shocking. So I covered all of those steps. It's really hard to understand the consequences because a lot of these statistics collections take years to put together. And so we'll be really feeling the impact of this maybe a couple years from now. But there's a few things that we've noticed. The department is supposed to, by law, produce an annual report on the condition of education in America. And it's supposed to be done by June 1st. They completely missed the deadline. And I started emailing the department what's going on. And they slapped a few things together on the website saying, some tables are forthcoming. We're not going to do it as a single report anymore. We'll do it kind of on a rolling basis. We're seeing that there are things that can't be completed because there is no commissioner for statistics right now. So I'm starting to track the thing. You know, at one point they were going to dismantle a library. It used to be transmitted by microfiche to all the libraries around the country. It's now an online website where really important educational documents are housed. They were going to let funding run out for that, but it was something I reported on, and they agreed to restart funding. And what we've just been seeing, because there are lawsuits that researchers have been waging against the Department of Education, that they are quietly restarting some of these statistical collections. So I'm starting to feel hopeful now that DOGE is not quite out of the picture completely, but tamped down a bit, and the Education Secretary, Linda McMahon, seems quite supportive of a lot of this work, that some of the critical work will come back online again.
Are you confident that's going to keep happening?
No. And some of it's coming back with a much diminished budget. Like, for example, one of the things they promised to protect was something called NAEP. That's the National Assessment for Educational Progress. This is the nation's report card that every time it comes out, every couple years, it's a front page story about how U.S. students are doing. It's why I could say earlier in the segment that U.S. academic achievement has deteriorated because of this test. She said, we are protecting them. But behind the scenes, they were slashing. They had to cut a lot of the assessments that were planned. And we still don't understand what kind of corners are going to need to be cut in the analysis and the administration of this test in future years. It's something I'll be keeping an eye on.
Jill, I'm curious now. This is Scott. Let me be honest with you, okay? And I've mentioned this on our show here before. In my old job, I worked 25 years primarily with schools, and I had a chance to do things with administrators and teachers and all this sort of thing. Those folks on the ground are not fans of bureaucracy. And I looked at the Federal Department of Education as another level of bureaucracy. Like, okay, here we go. Although research, again, I don't understand the cuts in research. We got to gather information. Okay, this works over here. Well, this isn't working over here. So the cuts in research, I don't understand. Now, Jill, have you ever done any reporting on state departments of education, like Pennsylvania, New York? I assume every state has one of those. And is it maybe, what's the word I want, redundant between a state department of education and a federal department of education? They're like doing the same thing. And why are they doing the same thing? Now, maybe I'm completely wrong on that. Have you ever done any kind of like reporting on state departments of education as compared to the feds?
It's a really good question. A small amount of money that schools have, around 11-12% of it, comes from the federal government. Most of the money that schools have comes locally from local property taxes or the state government. And so when the, but for this money that the federal government gives, there are a lot of regulations around it. And there's a lot of reporting that schools have to do. And just like doctors sometimes feel buried in paperwork, schools sometimes feel buried in paperwork. They have to hire people to do this paperwork. And why is the federal government so prescriptive that, you know, when you use this Title I money for high-poverty students, why do you have to use it in these certain ways? Or when they get money for children with disabilities, there's a lot of regulations that surround that. And wouldn't it be more efficient if we just let the schools or local leaders spend it the way they see fit? And that's really compelling. Let's get rid of the red tape. Let's get rid of the bureaucracy. I get that. But, you know, Scott, we recently had an experience where we just gave schools a lot of money. During the pandemic, we had these pandemic recovery funds. We gave schools $190 billion. It was enormous. And what do we have to show for it, right? We've seen a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. We've seen schools spending it on sports stadiums. And we haven't seen a huge increase in academic achievement as a result of it. So here's the problem, that if you still want the federal government to give them money, what do you do about accountability? Do you just let schools waste the money and spend it how they see fit without control?
That's a good question. All right. Accountability, it should be, you know, in the mix there somewhere. I mean, I've seen some schools, they fixed up their schools, not sports stadiums. They put in air conditioning or they refurbished the building because it was crumbling and stuff like that. Yeah, Congress was handing out obscene amounts of money to schools and so on. So I don't know. Just Joe, I'll be honest. I'm torn on the Fed Department of Education thing. Yes, research. We should always be doing research. Again, what's working? What's not working? These folks did this. These folks did that. That could be done on a national level. But I just have wondered about redundancy between the feds. And in our case, the people in Harrisburg, are they pretty much doing the same thing? And then the folks on the ground, it's like, okay, who are we supposed to listen to here? You know, we got two to listen to.
I don't think there's much redundancy in doing the same task. The big complaint I hear is there's so much bureaucratic red tape and paperwork to comply with the federal regulations. The federal government is not deciding what should be taught in schools. They're not dictating lessons. They're not setting curriculum. They're not setting standards. That's what's being done on the state and local level. I don't see redundancy on that level.
All right. Have you done any reporting on cyber schools? Because I guess especially since the pandemic, they have risen in popularity, and they have their own issues. I know a lot of local school folks are not fans of cyber schools for a bunch of reasons. Have you done any kind of reporting on that?
What I've seen is the research on these online cyber schools, and what we see is that student achievement is much lower. They seem not to be serving students well. Of course, you can find anecdotally an example of an individual student, perhaps a student who's socially struggling at school and maybe thriving more in an online environment. But I think those cases are few and far between, and that the majority of students are not doing so well in them.
Is anybody complaining about this? Like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing this anymore? Is somebody stepping up to say, hey, if the kids aren't doing as well academically, why are we doing this?
I definitely have seen protests and complaints. The teachers' unions have been active in that. I think you'd have to look at it across. This is a debate that's happening on the state level, and there are 50 separate debates on it. Some states don't allow these cyber charters at all, and some do. I believe your state is one that has some pretty active cyber schools.
Yes, we've got several. So that's one reason I kind of tossed that question out there. A term we've mentioned a bunch of times is the enrollment cliff, which is supposed to mean there's fewer kids coming out of school going to college. All right, folks are having fewer kids. From your perspective, right, the enrollment cliff, is that really, is that actively affecting education right now? Is this something that's going to burst, I don't know, 5 years from now or so on, or is this much ado about nothing? What about that topic?
We're in the midst of it right now, and it's going to get a lot worse. We have to do a little bit of math right now to understand this. The peak baby year was around 2007, 2008, and after that, we stopped making as many babies in this country. And so you have to count 18 years from that. So the peak, the kids who were born in the peak are now sort of juniors and seniors in high school. And but there's far fewer, say, sophomore, freshmen, eighth graders, seventh graders. As it cascades down, there are fewer and fewer students. So it feels to me in about 2 or 3 years, we're really going to be feeling the impact of it now. Where you see it is where fertility rates decline before the peak. We have had far fewer babies in the Northeast for quite some time, and you very much see among small liberal arts colleges in New England that used to be thriving institutions, they are desperate for students right now. Also the upper Midwest, areas that have seen the declining fertility rate for quite some time. Nationally, that was offset by strong baby production in Texas and the West and Florida, and that was sort of offsetting it. But nationally, we're going to be really hitting it in a couple of years.
All right. Now, Jill, here's a crazy thought, because, I mean, is this a negative? If we have fewer kids in some schools, smaller class sizes, I always thought that's supposed to be a good thing. Maybe I have this backwards. I mean, do most education professionals think that this cliff, this slow decrease in the number of students, it's going to be a bad thing? I'm wondering, is it possible it could actually be a good thing, or am I just wrong there?
If money were no object, that would be a good thing, because if schools had ample budgets, it would be great to have these smaller class sizes. The problem is that school funding is based on headcount. And when enrollments go down, schools get less money. But meanwhile, they have this infrastructure that they built up during the baby boom of the 2000s. And it's very hard to unwind that. I mean, imagine that you've built a large house and you've got utility bills that you have to, that you need to support that. And I don't know, pretend you're rich and you've got gardeners and a house staff and all that. And at some point, as the number of people in your household diminishes, you have to somehow downsize that whole infrastructure and at the same time pay pensions and health care benefits for all these teachers that you had been hiring along the way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, these upcoming years are going to be interesting. Before we let you go, Jill, again, we'll mention the website, HechingerReport.org. Really good stuff there. I don't know, you got a hot story you're working on right now or an upcoming story like, hey, watch out for this one? You know, give us a little preview if you got something.
I'm looking right now at some consequences, good and bad, to what is going on with the dismantling of the Education Department. This coming Monday, July 7th, after the holiday, I'll be talking about a hiccup that has happened, but also a victory for education researchers.
All right. Well, Jill, like I said, I've been chasing you for 2 months. You're one busy lady. Holy mackerel. So,
a lot going on.
Yeah. Now, hopefully we'll have you on again maybe in a few months or something because, yeah, education – it's an interesting world right now, isn't it? Oh, boy. So we appreciate your time this morning, and, hey, have a happy 4th of July. Thanks for joining us.
You too, and thank you for having me on again, and thank you for your patience. We live in strange times.
That is for sure.
Amen, sister. All right.
No doubt about that.
All right, so thanks to Jill. Some good stuff there. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have a few more minutes in our last segment. Maybe you'd like to chime in, if you will. We'll give you the phone number in a bit. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Leser Lumber Great Outdoor Sale, now through July 5th. Special pricing on TimberTech and Trex decking. See all our railing options, plus solar and LED lighting by RDI. The best in siding and roofing materials, as well as your summer fix-up. Fixing storm damage and new build projects. Ask about our new Best Plus plastic lumber. It's a long-lasting, affordable solution. Financing available. See all the outdoor living options at leserlumber.com. Leser Lumber, decks built to be legendary.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now, when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
800-930-2263. 800-930-2263. 800-930-2263.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and grandstand, multi-force, stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
A few minutes remaining for this week on Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, phone line is open, 814-954-7266. Hope everybody has a wonderful 4th of July weekend, whatever you are doing. Whether you're running, the approximately 40 miles that I'll be running tomorrow in the 4K, huh?
Pinocchio.
Firecracker 4K. Pinocchio. I don't know what you're talking about.
40 miles.
It is a long, grueling race.
Whoa.
Enjoying the fireworks. I think we're heading up to Medler Field at Lebrano Park tonight to take in the action there. But have fun. Stay safe out there. And let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, guys. Enjoy your 4th off to celebrate the founding of our republic.
Gee, thanks.
Does anyone know why we party and have fireworks on the 4th of July? Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. It's my Jeopardy theme music.
Da, 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 da.
Tradition. Tradition, says Alex.
Well, it's actually beyond that. When Jefferson finally drafted the 11th version of the Declaration of Independence with the help of Benjamin Franklin, I love both of them, he said, "From this day forward, we will celebrate with friends and family with fireworks." So it started the second the Declaration of Independence was signed. They celebrated.
So Jefferson said that. All right. Didn't know that.
Jefferson, yeah. When we threw off that tyrannical system that we implemented. But just remember, because it's July 4th, they never got over being beaten. And they've tried to get the country back since then. They're still trying. And they'll never get it back because of rugged individualism and independence. The American people, like, aside from your political opinion, we're like no other people in the world. When we fight, we fight. We take positions, and that's why we're rugged individualists. So that spirit will live on forever in this constitutional republic.
You don't think that's changing somehow?
Not at all. It's getting better. When I see somebody disagree with me vehemently and call me names, I'm like, yes. I love that spirit. The spirit of...
Oh,
I do. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's no fun getting along. I mean, you know, I love that spirit of rebellion and resistance. And, yeah, Thomas Jefferson said there should be a revolution every 20 years. The Tree of Liberty is replenished. The Tree of Liberty should be replenished every 20 years with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Now, he didn't necessarily mean the blood. He was talking figuratively. That rebellion is good. That's why we have... You know, three branches of government to fight to slow things down. That's why the First Amendment is important. So you have discourse in the streets. You know, you're not physically fighting each other, but you have redress of grievance. It's great. It's American. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, we were talking about
America. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah,
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, we were talking about American pride, early in the show, right?
Yep.
And by age group, and this was a Gallup survey, by age group, it is vastly different. Older folk are much more prideful about America. Younger folk, again, the so-called Gen Z, which would be today's teenagers and people in their 20s, for whatever reason, again, this is this Gallup poll, only 41% of that group says that they are proud or very proud of America. Only 41%. Now, if you go to, you know, the baby boom, that would be sort of me, 75%. And if you go to folks older than that, it's 83%. So why do the young people, seemingly, they just don't have as much pride in America as older groups? Why? I don't know. We've got about a minute. I can't put my finger on why. And so our caller just said, yeah, we're getting better. I wonder about this. When I see numbers like this, I just think, okay, I'm not seeing with our younger groups, that's not happening.
Yeah, I think it's multi-tiered, and it's, to me, very disappointing. And, yeah, I... Again, name a country in the history of the world that provides opportunities and freedoms like this one, and you can't do it because it doesn't exist, never has. Folks, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.